Welcome to the next Distinctive Coaching podcast, in which I'm talking to Karen Ennis. At Distinctive People, we're speaking to a range of coaches, coachees and leaders this year about coaching for performance and the lessons we can learn in business from sport. The coaches and coachees we're meeting have a personal experience or interest in a particular sport, and we're delighted to be speaking to Karen, who receives and delivers swimming coaching and is an experienced senior leader and freelance entrepreneur. Hello, Karen. Lovely to catch up with you today.
Hello.
I know you're a keen long-distance swimmer and set yourself ambitious challenges and have a fabulous track record of fundraising for Alderhay Hospital. I'm interested in how your experience of coaching or being coached in swimming feed into your work as a leader.
Okay. Firstly, thank you for inviting me to be with you today. I'd thought long and hard about the questions that you posed we might talk about today. Because there's so many crossovers I've learned from my swimming that come over into my corporate work. So I didn't really come to sporting achievement of any description until my late 30s. And it's kind of grown from there by accident. And what I realised was that most of the coaching that I'd had when I was younger and I started in a corporate environment, the most valuable courses that I went on were coaching related. They taught me resilience. They taught me how to adapt to change circumstances. They taught me how to rethink my plan without becoming upset and stressed about it. Having a corporate coach was really, really valuable in my career. And then when I happened upon sport, because I wanted to fundraise for Alderhay Children's Hospital, a lot of that thought process transferred across. And I realised that I set off a bit madly, just thinking I'm going to swim a mile in Lake Windermere with a wetsuit on and I'm going to raise money for Alderhay. And the only reason I picked swimming was because I can't run. I'm rubbish at it. But I did remember being able to swim as a kid. So the corporate coaching that I experienced played into me getting involved and starting to swim. Because I applied some of the things that I learned in the corporate coaching about resilience, etc., into the sport without really thinking about it, because it was a way of life and a style of thinking that I'd been privileged enough to learn when I was younger through my corporate roles. And then after I'd done my first swim event and somebody made a joke about me swimming the channel, it was my cousin, I think, and I thought, oh yeah, I could do that. I then thought, well, actually, coaching really helped me to develop myself in work. So I probably need to get somebody who knows a bit more about this than I do from a swimming perspective. And I've had the privilege of working with two coaches during the time that I've been doing my channel swims. And they've both brought something different to the table for me. One of them has an incredible ability to use the right language to get into my head. So when I'm swimming and they play back a video of me and what I look like in the water, she has the ability to find the words that explain to me what it is that I'm doing wrong with my leg or why my arm needs to be in a slightly different position. And that's a real gift. Not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And the other one, his stroke style and technique allow me to swim further for longer without any significant pain. And he is also motivationally really, really strong. So if you're having a day where you're thinking everything is awful, you give him a ring and within 5 minutes you're thinking, yes, I can do this again. And that blend of the two people has been phenomenal for me. And it's also what happened to me in work, interestingly. So I had a gentleman that I work with who his knowledge of corporate environments was amazing, but he also he had the ability to make me feel like everything was going to be all right. No matter what got thrown at me, there was a funny way of looking at it, or I had the skill sets to deal with it. So the two play into each other, and I can't really separate them out. I know I started with the corporate stuff first, but that's also probably put me on a better footing from the sport perspective, because I understood a little bit more about how you work with people.
Wonderful. That's really interesting. I love that connection and how it's become seamless. Why do you feel the focus on peak personal and individual performance is important, both in the water and in business?
Because when you're working with teams of people and with yourself, to get the best out of everybody, you've got to find what their skills are, what their strengths are, and find it within yourself to bring them to their peak performance through coaching. Coaching is a massive part of management in any way, shape or form, to help your team to be as successful as they possibly can be. And I've always said that I lead from behind with things. So I like to empower people to take hold of things and be the best they can be. And I've been privileged to have so many people around me who are far more gifted and talented than I will ever be in the fields that I've worked in. But the privilege that I had was enabling them to show that, because not everybody is able to bring that out in the work environment without support. Or they don't necessarily have the skills to work with somebody else and do it. So I've been lucky enough to be the conduit for those kind of things. In the sport, for obvious reasons, the peak performance bit, and I will never be a super athlete. I'm not going to be world famous or anything, but what I bring to it is mental strength and resilience. So I won't give up. One of the coaches was actually on the boat when I attempted the Molokai Straits in Hawaii. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to complete it because I got pulled out the water because I passed out because I'd been stung so many times by jellyfish. And he alleges, and I'm sure he does this for humour value, that I swam into the side of the boat for a feed. And the medics said to me, "You're going to have to abort the swim because we can see you reacting to the jellyfish stings. You've started to swell up. We need to get you out of the water." And I don't remember this because I was very disorientated at the time. I apparently shouted "No!" like a big spoilt child, and put my head back in the water and started to try and swim again. Immediately passed out and was pulled out of the water. But that says something to me. When I'm having a bad day, if my brain has that mental strength at a point like that to say, actually, no, we're not going to stop this, we're going to carry on because something good's going to come out the other side of this. That's a real skill that's come from life, from work, and been taken into the sport. So yes. So the ice miles that I swim, and you swim them just in a costume, cap and goggles, it's completely mind over matter once you get to a certain point of your fitness. You just have to keep putting one arm in front of the other. And the end outcome, although it's horrible while you're doing it and it's quite painful, the end outcome is amazing. You feel wonderful. You've achieved something fantastic. In my case, I've raised lots and lots of money for Alder Hey, which I'm really passionate about. But that peak performance comes from inside my head, not necessarily from my body. And I just think when you're trying anything in life, in work, in sport, the links between those two things, if you think of professional athletes who are really amazing at this kind of stuff, every day they've got to get up and do the training and they've got to keep enthusiastic about it and they've got to keep going. The one thing I don't get I'm not very good at is managing my diet, which a professional athlete would be. I'm a chocolate crisp and chip eater. And I don't think that'll ever change, which is why I'll never be a professional athlete. Don't have mental strength in that area. But the coaching that I got in work helped me to develop that resilience, which has come across to the sport. And that strength of mind just to be able to put everything else out of your head. People often ask me, when you're swimming for like 15, 16 hours, what are you thinking about? Well, there's a huge section of time at the beginning, where if I'm honest, where I'm thinking, if I put my arm there, Will I glide a bit further? Will I get a bit further on off that stroke? If I kick a bit harder with my left leg, is that going to push me a bit closer to where I need to be? So I'm thinking constantly about my body position, my stroke technique, how far each stroke's going to take me. And I've got that from work. So I'm a strategist by nature in work. And I'm thinking, if I go in that direction, what will happen over there? Is this, if I leave this bit alone here for a minute, is that going to be okay if I go off over there? So it's like my head's like a bit of a chessboard, and that ability and work has carried across into my swimming. So I know on a swim, and I think it comforts your brain in some way, that probably for the first hour and a half, while I've still got that in my head, I'm going to be thinking, am I breathing in the right place? Am I kicking my leg in the right place? Oh, my arm went off at an angle there. Pull it back in. I want to get this as good as I possibly can do, because the better I get it, the further I'll get through the water, the quicker I'll get there. And then after that, I almost go into a trance of this. I've just got to keep going. I just keep going to the next feed. And I think of it in sections. And that's how I've taught myself to think in work with projects. So I think, right, we've got to get to that milestone, and then you look at the next milestone, and then you might get to something that you're sharing with other people. Well, in my swims, it's half hour feeds. So I do a swim for an hour, and then I have the first feed, and then after that it's every half hour, because you're using up so many calories. But in my head, all I'm ever doing is swimming for half an hour. I'm swimming for half an hour, and that milestone is I get something to eat or I get something to drink. Then the next milestone is only half an hour. And before you know it, you've done 5 or 6 hours. And then somebody will say to you, you're halfway now. And that's like, that's one of my key milestones in my head. When somebody says you're halfway, it's like, bang, I can do this now. I'm on the downhill. And the downhill thing is key in my head as well, because when you reach midway point in a big program of work, and you're bringing all your teams together, and people are generally tired by that point, you know, they've been throwing everything at it for a number of months, because they can be 2-3 year projects, and they're probably fed up with each other because we've been spending a lot of time together in the office. Not everything will be on time and on budget, because it's the real world. And they're getting pressure from all angles to make sure things are finished. You've got to have that. And my swims are never just about me. You've got to have that team spirit. I have got two fantastic, used to be my husband, and I'm widowed now, but I've now got two fantastic friends who come on board boat with me. And they are my support crew. They make sure I'm fed. They make sure I'm looked after. And that is from the work thing. You have a work family, and I know people think that's trite, but that's really important to me, that you support your team, and it's all about, we've done this and we've achieved that, and wow, look what Penny's done, that's been fantastic. That's that I get far more satisfaction from than saying I've done this, or and again, that comes from being privileged when I was younger and being coached in a corporate environment. You learn what your value triggers are. And on the boat, there's a couple of videos of me that surprise myself, where I've partway through, I've asked the people who are feeding me, are they okay on the boat? Is everything going all right? And they're like, yeah, we're fine. Stop worrying about it. Just swim. And when I get out the water, the very first thing you'll hear me say on all the videos is, wow, we've done it. Because I cannot do it without superb pilots who are far more gifted than me and know the currents in the water better than me and everything else. Their support person who's watching the fish finders, so they know where, this is not exaggerating, but they know where sharks are and jellyfish shoals that we need to avoid and things like that. And then I have two crew who are there watching me every second to make sure that I've got everything that I need, that I'm safe, and I don't have to think about anything, because those wonderful people are doing their job. So it's a real team effort. It's not a solo sport that people think it is. And that I've carried that everything's about a team across from my work coaching, because it's very, very rarely, if ever, is something about one person. It's about people acting together. and supporting each other and coaching each other. And that's something else that's important to me. That coaching doesn't have to be from somebody professional. I've learned some of the most profound things in my career and in my short swim career from the most unexpected of people who'll just say something to you and you think, oh, wow, actually, you're right about that. I'm trying to think of a good example for you. There was a lady who was responsible for making sure the offices were all clean at the end of the day, and it was all nice. And I was working late one night, and she always used to come in and chat to me anyway. But she came in to chat to me, and she said, "Do you know your team have really pulled it out of the bag this week? I've been listening to everything they've been doing, and that's down to you and the fact that you expect everybody to behave in a particular way. You've really, because they were the cleaning team were having a really tough time in the building. It was a mess. There was building work everywhere. And my team had made them cups of tea, helped clear out some of the dust and the mess and all the rest of it. And she came to tell me this, but her coming to tell me that made me realize that the smallest of things that you do has a massive impact on people. It's just all ties across.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, just such a wealth of examples there, Karen, of how, you know, you've transferred and both ways from swimming to corporate work, you know, all those micro improvements. And you know, as well as looking at the big picture, looking at the every single thing that you do and how you do it, it's a powerful message and reminder I'm sure, you know, our listeners will relate to. Thanks very much, Karen. You know, a huge amount for us to reflect on and digest, and wishing you all the very best in your next challenge as you swim the Molokai Straits in Hawaii, you know, no mean distance of 28 miles. And all the best for your fundraising at Alder Hey Hospital. We will wait to hear the outcome and look forward to celebrating with you when you return. And thanks very much all for listening. For further information on this topic, do contact us and look out for our next Distinctive Coaching podcast shortly.